And now,
the definition.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Brian Meredith, and this is a reformatted original episode of the Class War Battlefield podcast. This is episode number 3. The need, not the right, to protest. Now, I listened to this for the first time today, and it is really, truthfully, one of my favorites. It is probably the most put-together episode where I am outlining what I really think. I remember the idea for this podcast originated over a year ago. Ironically, it started out as an idea for an article, and it was before the Occupy movement. I was publishing then an e-magazine called The 10, and I was reading all of these articles day in and day out of just terrible suffering, you know, whether it was economics or it was environmental or anything. I mean, even in my own community, I saw it. And I remember posing a question to myself, when is people just going to get, you know, so tired of it that they say enough is enough, we're going to start protesting? And I remember posing this to several of my friends, and many of them had no answers. And so I thought about writing this piece first as a wake-up call, kind of using the First Amendment as a just as a tool, kind of to say, you know, something, we have this right. Why aren't we using it, right? That was how it started out. But I was looking over the Declaration of Independence, which I forget specifically why. Oh, actually, no, I don't. I know why. Because one of my favorite documentaries used to be All Power to the People, and when they were talking to Bobby Seale, who was one of the original founding members of the Black Panther Party, he quoted a section of the Declaration of Independence, for which I cannot quote, but it talked about the, I'm not even remembering the word now, but the grievances of the population of the founding, quote, fathers who wanted to separate from England. And that word, grievance, stood out to me because, of course, I had heard it in the First Amendment. And thus, I changed what I wanted to write about from just being a wake-up call to, this is actually why we should be protesting, because these are the issues. This is what's going on. And according to the Declaration of Independence and the First Amendment, which uses the same word, grievance, I believe it uses the same word, grievance, we should be doing this because our government's not performing its job. And thus, after really trying to write it a couple of times, I put it into a podcast, and the ideas flowed so purely. It was very smooth. I enjoyed it. And I forgot exactly how good this podcast was. Ironically, I want to say, when I produced it, I don't believe I was happy. I don't believe I was satisfied with it. I do not believe I was satisfied with it. But I got over it. And looking back, you know, because when this came out, of course, the Occupy movement thing was going on. This was a good this was a great podcast. So, without further ado, I'm going to let you listen to it. At the end, I give a email for you to contact me. Of course, it's old. You can contact me at classwarbattlefieldpodcast@live.com. Thank you. Enjoy this episode. Class war, class war, class war.
Now,
class
Jim, war. Show this gentleman how you can dance and sing.
My attitude towards the Western powers. If you want to say there's no rules, fine. Don't go crying for your money when that comes.
America today finds herself in a unique situation. She's the only country in history in a position to become involved in a bloodless revolution.
If America does not respond creatively to the challenge to banish racism, some future historian will have to say that a great civilization died because it lacked the soul and commitment to make justice a reality for all men.
When the system doesn't work for the majority of the people, you gotta change the system.
Hello, this is Vladimir Deese, and this is a Class War Battlefield podcast. Come live, America, land of free, home of the brave. Let's get started. We are going to have a very frank discussion today about the need and the right to protest. See, as I've followed the Occupy movement / demonstrations, I've really been puzzled and amazed. People have talked about the right to protest. They've always pointed to the United States Constitution and said, we have the right to protest. Just look at the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights. But very few people talk about the need to protest. And this is important. Now, before I get into the differences, I want to first start off by reading the First Amendment. Amendment 1, freedom of religion, press, expression, ratified December 15, 1791. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free expression thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. When I read the First Amendment a few weeks ago, actually about 2 months ago now, my eyes fell upon the last sentence, actually the last portion of the last sentence, and to petition the government for redress of grievances. And I suddenly thought back to the Declaration of Independence. Said the redress of grievances. That almost creates a need. Almost a need to protest. Because obviously if people have to peaceably assemble to petition the government for a redress of grievances, that means the government is not doing its job. It is not actually addressing those grievances as they arise. The government is failing them. It's not working for the general public. And thus I sat back and I said, well, I've seen something about that somewhere. And I believe it was in the Declaration of Independence. So I went back to the Declaration of Independence and I read it. Now, how many of you have read the Declaration of Independence in the last couple of months? Well, I read it. And here is how it opens. When, in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bonds which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. That wasn't the interesting part. This is the interesting part. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundations on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem more likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly all experience hath shall that mankind are most disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. I decided to read the whole thing because I think you need to hear it. I had to hear it. I hadn't read the Declaration of Independence in probably a year. I don't make it a habit, but I had to go back to it. And again, the redress of grievance appears in the Declaration of Independence. It appears not in any sort of way. It actually appears in quite a loud way. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundations on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Again, the redress of grievances. It is the duty of people to alter. It's the right of people, pardon me, to alter government. This is the First Amendment before there was a First Amendment. It is the ultimate redress of grievances. When a long line of abuses make it so. Again, I call back to it. The need, not the right, to protest. Granted, ironically, in the Declaration of Independence, they used the term the right of the people to alter. Polling says that 80% or more of people believe that the government is very corrupt and needs to be altered. The only people saying that the government doesn't need to be fixed seem to be people within the government. The need, not the right, to protest. If you read the first declaration put out by the General Assembly of the Occupy Wall Street movement, I guess you can say, you see the need to protest screaming from its words. I'm going to pause this podcast really quickly so I can draw that up, so I can read a bit of it to you. So, you can, if you read it, I encourage you to go online and find it. And really, find as many of them as you can. This is what was released, I believe it was October 6, 2011, by the General Assembly of the original Occupy Wall Street, first located, of course, in Zuccotti Park. As we gathered together in solidarity to express a feeling of mass injustice, we must not lose sight of what brought us together. We write so that all people feel wronged by the corporate forces of the world can know that we are your allies. As one people united, we acknowledge the reality that the future of the human race requires the cooperation of its members, that our system must protect our rights, and upon corruption of that system, it is up to the individuals to protect their own rights and those of their neighbors, that a democratic government derives its just power from the people, but corporations do not seek consent to extract wealth from the people in the earth, and that no true democracy is attainable when the process is determined by economic power. We come to you at a time when corporations which place profit over people, self-interest over justice, and oppression over equality run our governments. We have peaceably assembled here, as is our right, to let these facts be known. Before I go on, tell me that that does not scream Declaration of Independence. You can almost see within its phrasings the original concept of that first paragraph, that first and second paragraph that I read you. It knocks you down. The need to protest. This is why we're out here. The corporations are running the government, and we cannot no longer stand silently by and say, fine, do it. I'll continue. They have taken our houses through an illegal foreclosure process, despite not having the original mortgage. They have taken bailouts from taxpayers with impunity and continue to give executives exorbitant bonuses. They have perpetuated inequality and discrimination in the workplace based on age, the color of one's skin, sex, gender identity, and sexual orientation. They have poisoned the food supply through negligence and undermined the farming system through monopolization. They have profited off the torture, confinement, and cruel treatment of countless non-human animals and actively hid these practices. I'm going to stop there. There's more. There's a lot more. Particularly my favorite is, they have sold our privacy as a commodity. They have used the military and police force to prevent freedom of the press. It's ironic to actually read, they have used the military and police force to prevent freedom of the press, in light of what has been happening on the ground with these occupations. But the need, not the right, to protest. The need, not the right, to protest. Remember what was said. When a list of injustices becomes too long that you can no longer bear it, the need, not the right, to protest. The need, not the right, to go to the government and say, you have not been fulfilling your duties to us, and we need change. Now, I like their declaration. I think their declaration is incredibly on point. But there are so many more things that we that are not on it. I'm not even going to get into that. Because that's not the reason why I did this podcast. The reason why I did this podcast is because this idea has been jangling around in my head for weeks. I've talked about it very briefly in a previous episode. But now it must be internalized. We must now work actively to activate people. To activate people. And we need to activate people. I believe that we are faced with a terrible turning point in this nation right now. I believe what we do in the next 5 years with this nation will impact the next 50 or more, will impact the lives that our children has. You can almost feel it in the air, the tension. The collective pausing of life. We have a need to protest. Jobs are not coming back. People don't want to even say this, but the hell with it. It needs to be said. You know the reason why the government is not interested in creating a new deal? Is because, one, they understood that the last New Deal was how far the moneyed class in this country were willing to go to save their own hide. FDR did not institute the New Deal to save the working class. He instituted the New Deal to save the moneyed class, to save the capitalist system. I am not a communist. I am a democratic socialist. But it's time to recognize, why the hell do you think they call it the New Deal? The New Deal saved the capitalist system, because if he didn't implement the New Deal, we were probably getting socialism. Or communism. Or some weird combination of socialism and fascism. And I do mean weird. But, two, the money class understands that we don't matter anymore. We are no longer a consumerist society. And to the small extent that these little enclaves are consumerist societies, you know, these little suburbs, the rest of us don't matter. See, they've got the formula. It's made cheaply. Our products are made cheaply in China. Not here anymore. Or they're made cheaply in some third world country where they can pay the people $1 an hour. They're brought here and they're marked up by, in some cases, a couple 100%. Most often, it's about 1,000%. To maybe 10,000 or more percent. I mean, Nike, for instance, the markup on shoes are probably somewhere in the area of 2,000 or 3,000%. But they understand that the system as it exists, which benefits them, is fine. Because, hey, this is competition, baby. Okay, it's not really competition again with all of them. It's competition between them and us. This is the whole concept of the 99 versus the 1. Moreover, the world just doesn't have the resources. See, the old New Deal, which implemented all this new infrastructure was allowed to take place because America was basically able to bring in all the supplies that it needed to have it to do that. Well, today we're not in the same position that we were back then. A lot of the countries don't like us, and China is, as fast as possible, gobbling up all the resources it can get its hands on so it can go through its development phases. These people know this. They're not stupid. The media only plays the game that, oh, well, all we need is a new deal, because they don't want to tell the truth about the matter. The New Deal saved capitalism, and the New Deal cannot work today because we do not have the resources to make it a reality. The need to protest. We are shifting from a capitalist society to something else. Maybe it's a monopolistic society. But if we work hard together, we might even have to say, forget the government for a second. We need to do this on a local level. I never thought I'd say those words, but it may need to happen. The government in this case may be too big to solve the problem. It may be too much in the way to solve the problem. I never thought I'd say that. My God, I never thought I'd say that. But this may be something that we have to recognize at a very, very basic level, at the community level. And we may have to really say, you know something, we recognize that we're going to either shift into a society which still elevates money and status, which still allows us to be competitors with each other until we reach a certain place in society when we're not necessarily competitors, but maybe friendly jabbers or jousters with each other. We're either going to move towards that society where certain people are going to need guns to protect themselves, where certain people are going to need bodyguards to protect themselves. Where the world is hotter. Plants and droughts become synonymous with each other. Or we can move toward a more sustainable system. You've heard me talk about it before. We're going to have to do it. And then we need to start really having the conversation. Public transportation needs to come back. Now, I know I just went on a large rant about how China's getting its hands on everything. We can be smart about it. We can use resources. We can work with different countries to bring in certain resources that we need. And then we can build things that we actually need, not just that we actually want. I work at a factory, and we build many things, but we build these certain components. And we build so many of them, I look at them and say, they're not components that you use in that consumers use. They're components for corporations. And I just say, well, wait a minute. There's only a certain number of the machines that can use these components, and yet we're making dozens of them, hundreds of them. Why? In closing, I just want to say again, you know, I originally started talking about the need, not the right, to protest. We have a deep need right now to protest. Look around you. Look at the shape of your community. You don't like it any more than I do. And if you happen to live in a good community, then do me a favor. Do something that Martin Luther King begged suburbanites to do. Go into the cities. Go into those places where you don't want to see. And learn from them. It's a tragedy to say this, but I believe the reason why the Occupy Wall Street movement began was because poverty that had visited black and brown people were now visiting white middle class people. If we are truthfully going to fix the society, then we have to fix that reality. We have to fix that reality. As one minister put it when interviewed by Chris Hedges down at Occupy Wall Street, a black minister, he had been protesting the same issues that these people were protesting for years. We have two classes, or should I say we have two Americas in this country, and it's not the rich and the poor. It still is the black and the white. Or should I say the have-a-littles and the have-nothings, because not all the people on that other side are black. We do have a need to protest right now, but we need to make sure that we're not protesting strictly on self-interest. It's time to elevate ourselves beyond just self-interest and realize that without community, self is nothing. I want to thank you for listening and encourage you to communicate with me. I'm on Twitter. You can find me. I'm at Peaceful Soldier. And you can send me an email if you'd like. It's The Angelic Soldier. That's TheAngelicSoujour at yahoo.com. And just as a side note, because I was asked, the soldier, SOJOUR, the portion of my name, which I also have in my Twitter feed, does stand for something. It stands for the term sojourner, which is a soldier on, which is, excuse me, a journeying soul, one who is on a mission. So, in the black community, we often refer to ourselves as soldiers, which is, or soldiers, S-O-U-L-J-A-H-S. Well, I didn't like that. I wanted something that was spiritual, and I wanted something that was conscious. And so I took the term sojourner, cut off the N-E-R, and soldier. Okay? This is Vladimir D. saying, until next time. There's a shadow on the faces of the men who sent the gun to the wars that are fought in places where their business interests run. On the radio, talk shows, and the TV, you hear one thing again and again, how the USA stands for freedom. And we come to the aid of a friend. But who are the ones that we call our friends? These governments killing their own, or the people who find they can't take anymore, and they pick up a gun or a brick or a stone, and they're alive.